When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Picture Book Look podcast. I'm Kim Chafee.
And I'm Kirstie Call. Together, we'll share some of our favorite picture books and chat with their creators to explore the journey from story idea to bookshelf.
We'd love you to join us as we take a picture book look.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kirstie.
We should start a rock band.
Ooh, I love that plan. What will our rock name be?
Casey Squared, of course.
Oh my goodness. Perfection. Yes. We should practice.
Okay.
Grab your guitar.
Okay. Let's
practice. All right. Ready? Go. Go ahead.
Kim.
What?
I think we better stick to picture book writing.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Although, I think we would be good at headbanging. Come on.
Maybe. But let's try reading today's book first. How to Be a Rock Star, written by Lisa Tolan and illustrated by Daniel Duncan. Maybe we could pick up a few tips there.
Okay. Perfect idea. We are so excited to talk with Lisa and her editor, Stephanie Pitts. Let's get rocking. So, Lisa, we're going to jump right in. Where did you get the idea for this story?
So, well, this one is close to home for me. My oldest son is a real rock star, and he has been since he was maybe 18 months old, and he grabbed another kid's ukulele and just started strumming and would not give it back. We had to, like, forcefully remove it.
That's so sweet.
Like, ah, I want that. So we got him his own ukulele, and that was his favorite toy just forever. So he was into music the way other kids are into dinosaurs or trucks. So I was always looking for books for him. And we were always at the same time doing lots of family jam band in the basement. And so I think all of that came together to inspire the book.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Stephanie, we know, why we love this book, but what was it that made you want to acquire it?
Well, you know, the truth is that sometimes I just like to laugh and have a good time. And this book was funny. And you can't fake being funny. Lisa's funny.
She
and
is.
Also, it's the kind of humor I really love, which is that smart kind of humor that appeals just as much to the adult reading it as the
yes.
kid. It's sort of that Pixar model where the parents, the grandparents enjoy reading it and viewing it as much as the kids. There were just so many great one-liners, like all these tongue-in-cheek moments, like, you know, the little brother runs off to another room with the backup singer stuffed animals. And yes. Lisa writes, it's clear you have creative differences.
Yes.
I love it. It's so funny.
Just so many things like critics and reunion tours. And it was just so funny. And also I find when I get a text that is really working, that I get really excited about, it's because like the pictures start forming in my mind. It's like as soon as I start reading the text, I can see it and I have a vision for it. And it's just something about the text kind of speaks to you that way.
Yeah. It's so funny. It really is. Thanks. And like you said, it's funny. It's not, I don't want to say subtly funny because it's just plain funny, but it's like you said, smart funny. I think that's a really great way to describe it. So now that you have this great text, can you give us a look into what the illustrator selection process was like?
So we came up with, me and the art directors, a short list of people we were interested in, and we ran the list by Lisa. And in the end, we really wanted to go with Daniel Duncan because he has those expressive characters, those just really funny action scenes with characters. But also his humor, it was the right kind of humor. That smart humor, it has a little bit of an edge, a little bit of bite to it. Even though there's lots of funny illustrators, you really do want someone that has an edge to it. It can't be too sweet because the humor is not too sweet. Mm-hmm. So, and he just, he seems very rock and roll to me. You know, he had some images of rock and rollers in his portfolio. So perfect. In the end, I think we just ended up with the perfect illustrator for this story.
Oh, it's a great collaboration.
Absolutely. Yeah, the cover. Beautifully done. The cover is just full of energy. I mean, how can you not want to pick that up?
I love her hair. Right?
It's awesome. Yeah.
Lisa, as you know, we love this book. It is funny. It hits all the right spots for adults and for children. The combination of the illustrations and the words is just makes this beautiful synergy of expressiveness and fun. So can you tell us a little bit about the writing process for this story?
The writing process, I have to say, I wrote this, I knew I wanted to write about musicians and rock stars. And when I looked at all of the books that were out there about this, a lot of them were using stage fright as sort of the source of conflict. But when I played with my son at this age, he was, 3, 4, 5, he didn't really have any concept of stage fright or really of even performing for other people outside of our house. You know, it was just a joyful thing. And I wanted to kind of stick with the joy message of it more than
I love
like
that.
Fear. And I didn't want to get fear in there. So I had a hard time like figuring out what the story arc should be until really I switched to second person. And then it was all of a sudden like a manual of how to have fun. And it still has a story arc, but it didn't have the same pressure of like 3 attempts to solve the problem or anything like that. So that's right. How it came together for me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Was it always in second person or was that something that came through revision? So obviously it sounds like it came through revision.
Well, I mean, honestly, everything before that was just in my mind. So the first draft was in second.
Okay. Okay.
So, but it was just all of a sudden like the penny dropped, like, oh, I can write it like this. So, so that was fun.
I love that. So do you have a specific writing schedule or any helpful writing habits that you'll let us in on?
I'd love to say I have a very dedicated writing schedule. I have a job and I have 2 kids. And so I think a lot of us struggle with trying to find the time to write. So I found that, scheduling in even just very short blocks of like, I'm going to focus on it for this half hour helps me to stay on track, but also just thinking about it all the time when you're not writing, I think is helpful. And I'm trying to, I think as I go learn not to write so much right away and just kind of wait and see what the best idea is before I plow ahead with any idea. You know what I mean? So
yeah, no, absolutely. That marinating time in your brain to just kind of getting ready in the morning and just thinking about it and seeing how it's going to play out. Yeah.
So you're a plotter, not a pantser.
I'm a plotter, yeah. And I also, as my day job, I'm an editor and I have been for a long time. So I had a lot of my starting out process was just shutting up my inner editor and learning to, not immediately tell myself this is dumb, this doesn't work. So to do that, I really have to like be in a great headspace. So sometimes for me, it means running and meditating and then just like letting loose. The editing comes later.
Stephanie, what was the editing process like? What did it look like when it came into you? And how much work did you do after you signed the project?
It's funny because I signed it up in 2018. So I had to go back and look at exactly to remember.
Pre-pandemic. Yeah.
So the pandemic happened. I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago. And that is one thing I think people are pretty familiar with. Picture books take a little while.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of factors. But in terms of editing the manuscript, I mean, there were parts of the manuscript that are completely unchanged. A lot of it was already working incredibly well. And some of the notes I had were just do more of what's already working. Like there was one kind of silly band name. Mom says, what about the Cuddle Monsters? And
yes.
I was like, what if we have more silly band names? And what if she comes up with a perfect band name? So we just sort of worked on enhancing what was already there. But there are whole sections of the book that are completely the same. I mean, it's already working so great. And I remember we added that section about the critics, which I really, that's probably one of my favorite segments in the whole thing. So it was pretty easy. We just had fun going back and forth, having suggestions on what would be funny. And then boom, came together.
So that's, I love that.
It.
Yeah. I wanted to ask because I think a lot of times when writers are working on a story, especially maybe like a how-to story, right? That kind of structure, that heart layer can get missed and left out. But I love your heart layer in here, this like connection between the siblings
and the parents and, too.
Sure. Absolutely. So was that something that was in there, Lisa, from the beginning, or was that something that you worked to, was that something like you enhanced as the revision process took place?
I'm sure I enhanced it, but I think it was there from the start. And part of that was, again, our own experience of like, I had this little rock star and then he had a little brother. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden being a rock star got a lot harder. You know, we called him the baby, the tour manager, and we just kind of put him next to him. But he, you know, he had couldn't play all the time that he wanted to play. You know, his brother really did run off with his backup singers all the time. or he'd, you know, hit the drum three times and then walk away. And so it was, you know, all of a sudden much more frustrating. And so I think a lot of this book is dealing with that frustration tolerance a mm-hmm. little bit, but also, you know, accepting that you might have creative differences, but he's still a valued member of the band.
I just love it.
And I love that theme, because first of all, that's going to resonate with anyone who has anyone in their mm-hmm. life. Doesn't even have to be a brother or right. a spouse or a family member. It's like, you're going to disagree on things sometimes mm-hmm. with your best friend or whoever it is. It's going to happen sometimes. And I love how this book is, so I'm a therapist as well as a children's book author. And so this book is bibliotherapeutic in that way. Like, think about how I use picture books mm-hmm. all the time, actually, in my practice. And think about how you can kind of process with anyone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How to deal with the things that are difficult, and how there is always that piece of, you know, compromise and love with people who really matter to you, whether they're annoying you or not. There are ways
right.
to help them know and to realize that you need that team. You need that collaboration. You can't be a one person band.
I know, right? That's an important lesson. You can't, and that's with yeah. picture books for sure, right? There's not just one person that does every job and then it's, you know, on the shelf. It's such a collaboration. So I love that.
And I actually am curious, Stephanie, do you have any tips for people, for our listeners?
Sure. Well, you know, it's tough out there in the querying trenches, as everyone knows. I mean, I think I just always go back to, in order to be a writer, you have to be a reader. And to really study picture books, I mean, obviously enjoy them, right? Because there's a lot of joy to be found there, but also to study them. And especially looking at books that have been published in the last 3 to 5 years, like look at that copyright page and making sure you're seeing what is relevant in the market now. Looking at books that have separate authors and illustrators, because, you know, one author illustrator can do things a little bit differently, mm-hmm. and even type out that text and say, okay, what's working about this text? And what did the agent or the editor see that caught their eye before there were any images that added to the
right.
humor or the story? So I think that's tried and true advice when you're trying to learn the craft.
Definitely.
Agreed.
Definitely. Yeah, that's good advice. Typing it out. We were just talking about that, actually. And
we were.
It's something I know when I was starting out, I did a lot of, and it was so helpful to, like you said, see how the author, you know, had it typed out on the page before it was a book, and where the page turns were and what that looks like and the pacing and all those kinds of things that, you know, might be hard to visualize in your own story, but if you kind of put yourself in someone else's shoes while they're working, or in their work, it can help with your own writing. So
definitely. And then also just noticing, what do you love about mm-hmm. what this person did in this book, and how do you infuse that into your
mentor
own writing?
Texts are so important.
Yes. Mentor texts.
Right. Yes. Lisa, was there anything particularly challenging? Like, is there something that stands out when you were writing this book that you were like, I just can't figure out how to fix this problem or what needs to come here, or any kinds of specific challenges that you can think of?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the challenges with a how-to text is trying to give it a story arc. And so in this case, you know, you still kind of need an antagonist or two. And so, you know, the little brother causes some challenges, as do the parents, you know. So you still have to think about the conflict that would be there. You know, when we were playing in our basement, we were just having tons of fun and throwing stuffed animals and, you know, doing laser light shows. And, you know, we weren't the terrible parents who were saying, no, you can't have an instrument, I hope. But you still need some conflict even in a how-to format. So I think just thinking about ways that I could create an arc within that kind of text was a little bit of a challenge.
It is just such a fun book.
It really is.
But we actually have one more question for each of you. And we're going to start with you, Stephanie. When someone reads this book, what do you hope they feel or learn?
Well, I hope that it inspires them to think creatively in their own play and take chances and maybe try a musical instrument. But mostly I hope that after they've read it, they want to read it again and again and again.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
That's my favorite kind of read.
I think they will.
Yes.
And I think agreed. They'll be inspired to start
so
strumming some broomsticks or as guitars and thinking up band names. Lisa, how about you? Same question. When someone reads this book, what do you hope they feel or learn?
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right, is to get someone to want to read it again. And I've gotten these sweet notes from people. You know, I had a friend who said her daughter wanted to read it 3 times. And then at bedtime, she found her, you know, she was supposed to be getting ready for bed, but instead she had her stuffed animals as backup singers. And she
I
was
love it.
Doing the whole
Aww.
Thing. So I think, you know, with any kind of funny book, part of the goal is just having some joy around books, you know, and I hope that comes through. But really, you know, the message for me of the book and the message that we tried to impart to my son, it was like, when he did get frustrated, we said, you know, you got to keep playing. That's rock and roll. So his guitar strap would get twisted or he'd get frustrated because it wasn't making the right sound and he didn't know how to tune it and, you know, all of these things. We said, you got to keep going. That's rock and roll. So I hope that kind of spirit comes through of persistence, even when everything's not perfect. That there's still joy in creation.
A big thank you to Lisa and Stephanie for joining us today and giving us a look into the creative process for How to Be a Rockstar. Check out the show notes to learn more about Lisa and her other fabulous work. Don't forget to follow the podcast so you won't miss an episode, and we would love it if you would leave a review. Thanks for listening and
happy looking.
Picture Book Look is produced by Kirsty Call and Kim Chafee. Music by James Call.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.